to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Jerome Clark. His third edition of Unexplained is available right now. But we took a segue to talk about the book from Scott and Suzanne Ramsey, with some help from Frank Warren and others, about Aztec. And I mentioned the one thing where there's a lot of concern, the lack of direct witnesses. What is your take?
Yes, I think also the authors play rather fast and loose with the testimony. I think the testimony, what there is, which isn't a lot, is sort of massaged to validate the narrative that the Ramseys are promoting, namely that there was a crash near Aztec, New Mexico in 1948. And when you read the book with any degree of critical intelligence, you see there just isn't a case. You know, this is one thing. I've had a lot over the course of a lifetime reading this kind of literature. There's a whole genre of stuff that makes a whole lot of very little. And the author will make great claims for the strength of his argument when, in fact, the argument is weak to non-existent. And this was an example of this. It seemed to me that the Ramseys came into this determined to make a case. And I'm not accusing them of being deliberately dishonest. They may have just wanted so much for this to be true that they kind of persuaded themselves. But as one who has no skin in the game, I just found it just really, really unconvincing. And Kevin Randall, whom you just mentioned, was really helpful to me. Kevin and I were exchanging notes, and he provided some materials to me as I was writing this really kind of in-depth examination of why the book doesn't work and why there is no reason for anybody to think that there was a UFO crash in Aztec in 1948 or any other time.
Now, the other case to compare, Roswell. How does the Roswell case stand? And for those of us who have not discussed it that much with you, and a lot of listeners haven't heard it, with the Roswell case, what do you think stands for it and against it, fairly briefly?
Well, I think that what stands for Roswell is a fairly impressive body of interlocking testimony that something really extraordinary and not a weather balloon happened. And that is really intriguing to me. In fact, this past weekend, I spent some time with Don Schmidt, who's one of the leading Roswell investigators, who's been at it for about 25 years. Kevin Randall, obviously, is another experienced investigator. And I find all this really intriguing, and it keeps my mind open. On the other side, what makes me skeptical is that if something like this happened, it would leave a big footprint in history. The history of the world after World War II would be very different. There'd be all kinds of fallout in terms of, technological development, international relations. The history of the Cold War would be different because the U.S. government would have had access to, some kind of extraordinary technology which could have, been used in weapons development and so on.
That's the argument I make against Colonel Corso also.
Yes.
That he was the bag man for the government to bring ET technology into private industry, he stuck with the low-hanging fruit and didn't go very far.
Yeah. One of my major interests in life is history. I read an enormous amount of history. I've read a lot of, post-war history. Looking all the time for any evidence that some kind of magical advanced technology was dropped into this history, and there is zero evidence to that effect. It just beggars reason to believe that extraterrestrial technology could have been recovered and vanished without any trace from subsequent history. On the other hand, since I have a lot of respect for Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt and some of these people who have spent a lot of time at this, there is a genuine mystery there. And so I just basically sit back and presume that nothing happened while keeping my mind open for subsequent developments. There's no question that there's a lot of interesting and intriguing material associated with the Roswell incident, but that is not the case with the Aztec. With Roswell, nobody disputes that something happened. With Aztec, there's no evidence of any consequence that anything happened.
We see the distinction. Now, the one thing I want to ask you, of course, about alien technology, even if they recovered a spaceship from Roswell, New Mexico, there's no guarantee that we'd be able to reverse engineer the technology or we'd even understand it. I mean, just take your iPhone and bring it back 100 years and let them figure it out.
Well, I hear that argument, of course, and I'm not saying that it's without merit, but it seems to me that it would have been possible by now to have learned enough of it so that there would be some trace of it in the history of subsequent technology, and there just isn't.
So that seems to argue against Roswell, other than maybe you have some kind of crash of maybe a test aircraft.
Well, there's no evidence for that either. I mean, there's evidence that something happened that is yet to be fully accounted for. And a number of people, an impressive number of people who were involved in this, believe that they were dealing with the crash of an extraterrestrial craft with bodies. And if you take the argument and just look solely at this testimony of people who seemed to be quite sincere and were genuinely startled and upset and frightened, you know, then you got the case for a spaceship crash in Roswell. But it doesn't happen in that vacuum. It had to have happened within history. So that's the paradox, the conundrum that those of us who are interested in this have to deal with. And so basically I just feel comfortable with being agnostic about it. I don't know what happened. I don't think anything has been proved one way or another, and we'll just have to stand by for further developments. And there are further developments which will be released and publicized in time. Roswell is not a static story.
You say further developments, you're hinting at something here, Jerry.
Yes, there are coming developments, and it's not for me to say what they are, but the people who are doing that research will be coming forward with new and interesting developments in the future. So it's not a static story.
Are you referring to Kevin's new effort with Anthony Bregaglia and I think Dave Rudiak, there's a number of people that now have been dubbed the Dream Team. Are you talking about their effort or something else?
I'm just not going to say much more.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I don't want to sound mysterious. It's just that, you know, there are new developments on various fronts.
Well, it's the case that just won't go away. I have a question here that I think would be appropriate to ask at this juncture, talking about the Ramses and the Aztec book. This comes from Century, who's been a poster at forum.theparacast.com for about a year and a half now. He's a very diligent poster as well. And he says, Jerry, a certain amount of dramatic license is expected in retelling a paranormal event, but some writers go too far. At what point does a dramatic portrayal become fiction? Now, of course, several names come to mind, John Keel being one of them.
Gray Barker, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So give us your rule of thumb about that. Where do the facts leave off and fiction begin?
Well, when you start making stuff up, you know, when the reporter starts making stuff up, obviously, and John Keel and Gray Barker are two very good examples of that. I think that Keel was in many ways in the grips of certain very strong beliefs that caused him to fool himself and made him a little crazy, whereas I think that Gray Barker was always entirely sane, always knew exactly what he was doing. And I think that if
some want to believe the reverse, that but we'll get into more of this in a moment. We have Jerome Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
My name is Leslie, and I've had depression since I was a child. After being on Prozac for 20 years, I got onto the One World Way, and my need for Prozac was reduced by 50% within a few months. Now, after less than 1 year, I am completely off of Prozac. I learned that mercury is a toxin that causes brain damage and depression. By taking One World Way, I know that I've detoxified my brain of mercury and excess glutamate, and I'm now functioning with this dramatic improvement in my mood.
The power to change your life lies, in part, in the power you have to change your body's chemistry. Through diet and supplementation, you have the power to change your body's chemistry to support dramatic improvements in health and happiness. Nature has been, and always will be, mankind's first and only pharmacy to choose from. Change your chemistry and change your life with One World Way. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we talk to Jerome Clark, starting to ask your questions from forum.theparacast.com, and we've got a bunch. And let's go back to what you said about Gray Barker and John Keel. So Barker knew when he was being fast and loose with the facts, that was part of his thing. But you were saying that Keel got caught up in events?
Yeah, I think that Keel was essentially a demonologist who had this kind of belief that all these strange phenomena, UFOs and everything else, were caused by, you know, hostile supernatural entities that have been traditionally known as demons, and Keel himself would acknowledge that connection. But he began to believe, because of the particularly strange psychological structure of John Keel, that it was very hard for him to separate his own beliefs from what was quote-unquote really happening. And so he would see things and even write things that really weren't there, but he believed they were there because they had to be there. You know, it's really a question of, John Keel's not the only human being who suffered from this, but it's really believing your own BS. And Keel was just self-deluded in many ways.
It's a bit of an indictment.
Well, I think that people who knew John or read his work carefully would agree with that. I don't think that that's a particularly radical charge.
True. We've got a whole bunch of questions here, Jerry. I'd love to throw a few at you. I'm in the midst right now of lining up some investigators who have been spending years working on the Sherman Ranch case up in Utah that George Knapp and Colm Kelleher addressed in their book, Hunt for the Skinwalker. And Polterwurst, who's, again, a fairly long-time poster at forum.theparacast.com, has quite a list of questions here, but one of them he asks about your knowledge about that case. In the book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, which I still try to wrap my mind around, giant bulletproof wolves are described. Did you personally speak with any of the people involved? Were these animals also seen by the scientists? Why are the scientists still mostly not talking openly about what they experienced up there? How much have you looked into that case?
All I know is what I read. I read the book, which I thought was very interesting. The only thing I can contribute to this is that in the course of my archival research, I did come upon a late 19th century report, and unfortunately I don't have the details in my head, of a giant kind of supernatural wolf, which reminded me very much of what figures in the first chapter of Hunt for the Skinwalker. And I immediately made that connection. In fact, I think that I even sent an email to George Knapp about it, but I just don't remember the details. But it was from a clipping from probably about the 1880s describing a whole bunch of strange events focused on one place. And one of the things mentioned was this large wolf-like animal that nobody could identify, and whose behavior was very strange. So there may be some precedent for reports like that. Not talking about werewolves.
Oh, we're talking about werewolves.
Well, that's Dogman. That's a whole different thing that's supposedly gone on up there with the bipedal lycanthrope. How do you say that? Was seen jumping from rooftop to rooftop in the town of Fort Duchesne in front of witnesses, including law enforcement. And then another case that I think might have been mentioned in Hunt for the Skinwalker, where they saw one of these bipedal sort of dogmen leaning up against a tree smoking a cigarette. I just love that little detail.
Now, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Go figure. It's a pretty strange set of events. We're going to have a show, as I mentioned earlier, about this coming up here soon. You might want to tune in to listen to that. We might have a couple of special guests that will be revealed publicly for the first time.
He's not even telling me.
Yeah. Gene doesn't know yet. I was going to talk to him about it later.
Wow, that sounds great. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah. It's going to be a round table with a number of participants.
Under deep NDA.
Yeah. Under what?
Under deep NDA, non-disclosure.
Yeah, non-disclosure. Well, one person may be anonymous, depending on who we get. We're working on it. It's going to be a really good show. I'm looking forward to it.
We have to run their voice through a mixing machine?
I don't think so. I just don't ask his name.
We had an abductee on the PowerCast once where we called him Doug, but we never revealed his real name.
Was he from Dougway?
Do you hear a sound of silence?
Yeah.
You want to move into another question, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, we've got a bunch here. Okay, this is coming from one of our newer forum members, Kanakaris, And he says, magic wish time. Of all the mysteries you've investigated, explored, debunked, etc., which one would you be willing to sacrifice all others for in order to find out the complete truth of its existence or non-existence? And he gives the example, you would never know the true history, purpose, nature, or goal of UFOs, but would receive all complete information about Bigfoot, proof of its existence or non-existence based on science and physical evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt. Which one would you want to know the answer to, sacrificing all the others?
Now, that's an excellent question.
It is.
And as it happens, just this past weekend, I addressed that subject. I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan at Mike Swords' house for a gathering of the CUFOS personnel and officers. We hadn't met in years, and we got together, and we were talking about everything. And I made the point that if I had to give up all else, there was only one thing left that I could have. It would be airships. I have been studying reports of mystery airships from the late 19th century, early 20th century, since the 1960s. And they still intrigue and fascinate and engage me. And I would love to know what that was all about.
So where do you lean, being probably one of our most knowledgeable experts on that subject? Which direction do you lean with that?
Well, I think these reports were at their core valid. There were many, obviously, sightings of Venus. There were stories that were just made up out of whole cloth. But there was a phenomenon where people were seeing dirigible-like objects with sometimes extraordinary performance characteristics. But there were no dirigibles in the United States, and certainly not in that kind of quantity in the 1890s and before. We're tracing this phenomenon slowly back to at least the 1850s. And it was an international phenomenon by the early part of the 20th century. There were sightings in New Zealand, South Africa, Australia, Mexico. And it's very puzzling. There's no question that people were seeing things that looked like dirigibles, where there were no dirigibles. And these things apparently even landed on occasion, and people talked with their crews who passed themselves off as ordinary Americans. They claimed to be inventors. We know they weren't. And yet some of these contact, close encounter cases, which we could easily dismiss as sheer fantasy, some of them seem genuinely puzzling, involving people whose sincerity doesn't seem to be open to question. And I've done some research into the background of some of these people, and they certainly don't look like hoaxers and jokers.
We'll go into more of this in a moment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest corn belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Jerome Clark. His book, Unexplained, third edition, is out now. And if you read the first two, there are changes, new material, lots more. We were talking about the Great Airship Mystery, that we all relate to 1897, but extended beyond that.
And before. There's a really good case from 1880 from Galisteo, New Mexico, that was seen by a town having a picnic. I found what may be the only known report from Colorado, much by accident, in a small Buena Vista newspaper, talking about a sighting of the airship in, I think, 1896 over Grand Junction, Colorado. I agree with you, Jerry. These were real events. Of course, we do have the Alexander Hamilton hoax. We have the Aurora, Texas, the very questionable case there. And we do have some... some very slow news days, and some of the reporters out there in newspaper land, I think, coming up with some pretty interesting tongue-in-cheek accounts. But
you know what's interesting now is now it's always about a political story. They make up something, and they go with it, not so much about strange creatures. But today it's about politics. Maybe politicians are the strange creatures of the 21st century.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of use of the airship imagery to tell politically themed jokes in the press of the period, and airships were kind of woven into the texture of popular humor and culture. But for a while, you know, probably between November 1896 and May 1897, there apparently was a great wave of real sightings of real structured objects that looked like big dirigibles. And when the occupants were observed or even communicated with, they seemed to be normal human beings, normal American human beings, but they weren't. It's just the whole thing is just almost the far edge of the strangeness scale. All you can conclude is that, yes, people believe these things were happening. Some of these sightings and encounters are vivid and deeply strange, but it's really hard to get beyond that. It's like almost like another reality was impinging on the reality of late 1890s America. And they were seeing some alternative vision of aviation history. It's something that seems like the substance of a science fiction
novel. Right. Like some sort of parallel timeline or something.
Yes, exactly.
That last question, by the way, was asked by Isaiah Bradford, who's a fairly new addition to our forum family. I have another question here. This one is by Kanakaris, and this kind of dovetails nicely with the subject of the Great Airship Wave. And he says all sightings of aliens suggest a humanoid appearance. Don't you think this must mean that they have some origin or connection with the Earth? Now, I take exception with all sightings of aliens are humanoid in appearance. That's not true. A vast majority of them are. But he raises a good point. Do you think that there's a connection, some sort of ultra-terrestrial, crypto-terrestrial, or some sort of closed system explanation for these beings? Or do you think that the humanoid appearance is something that we're going to find all throughout the galaxy?
Yes, to the latter question. Yes, that's not a problem for the extraterrestrial hypothesis. The whole notion of parallel evolution that's been written about both in the ETI literature and in the more scientifically based UFO literature. For example, by my friend Mike Swords, at whose place I was staying last weekend in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Mike is a retired environmental science professor from Western Michigan University, and he's written at length using, you know, respectable scientific literature and speculation about why it is likely that throughout the galaxy, a civilization, an alien civilization that could build the kind of technology that would take its representatives here is likely to have a humanoid appearance. There are all kinds of reasons why you would have to have a humanoid kind of form to create technology, to manipulate tools and so on. Now, that's just not a good argument against the extraterrestrial hypothesis. I think it's a kind of a naive one. I can understand on some superficial level why people might come to it, but it isn't. You know, the validity of the ETH is going to have to be argued, debated on other grounds.
Yeah, I agree somewhat with your opinion on that. I do think that the humanoid form would be, I think we're going to find it eventually out there. There's no question about it. Whether they're visiting us from elsewhere right now, I think is still an open question, at least in my mind. I've got about 9 or 10 questions from Polterwurst, who's one of our more active posters at the forum at theparacast.com. Let's start out with a couple that deal with strange creatures and cryptozoology. Is there any possibility that these reports might be just misinterpretations or exaggerations of encounters with normal wildlife? What would be your strongest case or cases speaking against this skeptical explanation?
Well, simply what people describe. I mean, you know, if you have a sighting where viewing conditions are uncertain and there are other kinds of elements that would get in the way of good observation, yes, that's where you find your mistakes. But when you have somebody seeing something in very good viewing conditions at some kind of reasonably close range, chances are that you have two explanations. One is that the person really did see a really unusual creature, or the person just made the story up. There doesn't seem to be much ambiguity there. I think that if all of our quote-unquote evidence involved ambiguous sightings by excitable persons, we wouldn't be talking about this. There would be no controversy. It would just be clearly that these are a bunch of mistakes. But the mistake hypothesis just simply doesn't begin to deal with a great body of testimony. We're going to have to look elsewhere first.
Yeah, the volume of reports would almost negate that.
Yeah.
Judging from the number of Bigfoot-type reports, there must have been some cited by scientists, too. Polterwurst asks, are there official Bigfoot sighting reports by scientists? Has there ever been at least one, he says, unofficial or unofficial effort by scientists to look into this? He gave the example of the Orange Pendak expedition to Sumatra. And he says he's new to these fields and he's not an American. So he's kind of fishing for some some education here. Do you know of any scientists that have actually been involved personally in a Bigfoot sighting report?
Well, the scientific investigation of the Sasquatch phenomenon, and by that I'm referring specifically to the creatures reported in the Pacific Northwest of the United States and Canada. There is a great body of scientific evidence investigated and documented by physical anthropologists and other specialists. One of the leading, maybe the leading living scientific authority investigator of the Sasquatch phenomena, Jeff Meldrum, was a physical anthropologist at Idaho State University, who has written several very good books, deeply grounded scientifically. There are all kinds of scientists, for example, Jane Goodall, who's one of the most famous physical anthropologists in the world, who are sympathetically interested in the Sasquatch phenomenon, who have participated in one way or another in field expeditions or laboratory analyses of hair and footprints and other things.
Yeah, the University of Washington, I think, has mounted several expeditions and has worked with Rene Dehedron and others. Now, you're speaking of what's the gentleman's name in Idaho? Is it Jeff Melman?
Jeff Meldrum.
Meldrum, right. Yes. He's supposedly doing a DNA study, isn't he? Isn't he involved in that?
Yes, and he and other scientists.
Yeah.
Meldrum is the most visible living scientist, but there are others who are also involved quietly or in secondary roles. But there is a body of rather difficult to dismiss physical evidence for the existence of the Sasquatch. In fact, I am certain that if there is a breakthrough in any of these mystery controversial claims that we're dealing with, the whole range of things, the breakthrough is going to come with Sasquatch.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into Sasquatch about the breakthrough and other questions from the listeners. We have Jerome Clark with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the door sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Jerome Clark, with Gene and Chris, back on the Paracast. The book from Jerome Clark is Unexplained, and UFOs are just a small part of the picture. Now, Chris was discussing some of the questions from our audience. You can post your own questions, by the way. Go to forum.theparacast.com, and we always have a place called the Question Bank, and when we have a guest scheduled far enough in advance to make a difference, we have you post them. Let's continue with the questions and the follow-up, Chris.
Yeah, there's quite a list of questions here from Polterwurst, and he's really thought these out, I think, fairly well. Have you ever thought, Jerome, that about the possibility that at least some UFO or creature sightings may be caused by what's called spirits or ghosts in mythology, i.e. disincarnate consciousness or non-corporeal entities? That make any sense to you? Do you think that there's any possible connection in some cases?
Nothing leaps to mind. I think that sometimes when observers are living in some kind of non-technological society and they see something that we would call a UFO and it looked to us like a piloted machine, but they don't really have that kind of vocabulary or that sense of technology, that sometimes these things get filtered through, you know, supernatural belief traditions, and so they might call these things ghosts, but I don't think that really describes, you know, the UFO phenomenon, even on any level.
Yeah, so apples and oranges, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, he asked a question here, again, going back to the Skinwalker Ranch case. He says that some of the anomalies were reminiscent of poltergeist or haunting phenomenon. Did you ever investigate a case where polter-like events allegedly happened, and did you experience or see something like that yourself, perhaps while you were investigating some other case? He gives the example of a UFO or cryptid case.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that. I think that the poltergeist is really a discrete phenomenon that isn't related to much else, that it has its own kind of lawfulness. And every once in a while, in some of the more unusual poltergeist cases, people report seeing an apparition or something. But I think generally poltergeists are probably not even hauntings in the sense of like a ghost reported to be in a house and living in a house and encountered in a house. I think poltergeist is something really distinctive. I'm hardly an authority on it, but I was really struck when I have studied anomalies over history, that the poltergeist is one that stays pretty much true to form for many centuries. I think that the poltergeist has to be studied and understood on its own.
But just as an aside here, Tom Adams, who was a longtime investigator based out of Paris, Texas, who went to the San Luis Valley where I investigated for many years, quite a number of times in the early 70s. And at one point, right during a pretty intense UFO sighting wave, they were staying in Alamosa, a small town in the center of the valley, in a trailer that belonged to one of the witnesses of these UFO events. And they reported some very impressive poltergeist activity in the trailer one night after they had gotten back from investigating some recent sighting events. Do you think, this is my own question here, do you think that there's some sort of energetic property perhaps in a location that would allow for cross-discipline type phenomena to occur? Like if we have UFO sightings, do you think it's more likely that we're going to see Bigfoot or have a haunted site go active or have poltergeist type events? Do you think there's any sort of correlation there?
You know, the honest answer is I don't know. And I have a strong belief that I'm not going to tell other people what they experienced. And there are a lot of things out there, and some of it really depends on what questions you ask. You know, anybody who goes in to investigate some strange experience, no matter how well-intentioned, comes in there with certain kinds of predetermined ideas, including ideas about what questions should I ask, what's important, what am I looking for. I mean, you could possibly not do that. So just by the nature of the questions you ask, you get certain answers and you don't get others. And also, you don't know, even if you ask every conceivable question, get every conceivable answer, if these things are connected. I'm reminded of a line in a Bob Dylan song, take what you have gathered from coincidence. You know, downplay the role of coincidence.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's absolutely imperative to factor in synchronicities and coincidences into any investigative process. That's one of my major rules of thumb that I try to impart to up-and-coming investigators. Well, what about balls of light? Polterwurst asks a very good question here. They make up a big part of UFO sightings, and skeptics say they might be natural phenomena like earthquake lights or ball lightning. Michael Persinger, for instance, seems to think that electromagnetic fields accompanying these phenomena might even be the cause of induced illusions like seeing little graves or structured craft. But again, what would your strongest cases be against that as an explanation?
Well, it's a complicated question. This gets back to my idea of experience anomalies. Experience anomaly has a model. It may be a model that of something that really exists in nature, in technology, or it may be something purely imaginary. With balls of light, we start with ball lightning. And ball lightning is a real, if not well understood, phenomenon of nature, which most meteorologists and physicists accept as real, as something that does exist in nature. But you start with that, and then you move into the experience anomaly correlates. In other words, extraordinary phenomena that take on the coloration of something that exists either in nature or in the cultural imagination. And so ghost lights are sort of the extraordinary correlate to the natural phenomenon of ball lightning. And one thing that ghost lights have in common often is an intelligence or at least an intentionality that really strikes witnesses. And whereas ball lightning lasts a few seconds and it often departs with a dramatic explosion, ghost lights, mystery lights don't do that. They can last for some period of time. They can even interact with witnesses, and witnesses can see them up close without feeling the sense of danger that people who are too close to ball lightning feel, with good reason. And ghost lights show up in all kinds of different contexts. And
sometimes they're really predictable, too, like the Marfa lights, for instance, are fairly predictable.
Sometimes they seem bound to some particular place, although then you get into all kinds of controversies, unanswered questions about atmospheric phenomena? Are these things, reflections of light with conventional sources? And that discussion goes on endlessly. So if you're talking about something like the Brown Mountain lights or the Marfa lights or something like that, it's really hard to get a fix on this. But ghost lights that appear, at random or in some context where they're seen for a period of time and then no longer seen, you're dealing with things that are very hard to explain and that have fascinated students of folklore for a long time. If you go into folklore journals, you find a lot of very interesting writing about people's experiences of ghost lights.
Right. That's true. They've been reported, all throughout history. And some in fairly celebrated waves of them where these lights would be seen pretty fairly regularly.
In my book, Unexplained, there's a fairly comprehensive chapter on this.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, and there's some real good cases in there, too, I must add. Well, what about Persinger's idea that the electromagnetic fields may cause induced delusions? That's one aspect of the question I find fairly interesting. Do you think that the human mind can confabulate accidentally details of experiences because of the effect of some sort of electromagnetic radiation?
I'm inclined to doubt that. That seems to be the kind of a reductionism that some people get into, and I just am skeptical of that. Persinger's ideas don't seem to have gotten much traction even within mainstream psychology or geophysics or whatever. I just don't find that particularly persuasive. And I've talked with scientists who have also studied anomalies and who just simply reject Persinger's claims. I just think that was kind of a sideshow for a while.
We're going to do our break with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.